Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from Him who lives and reigns, who casts out demons, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We go to Mark chapter 1. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Thus far our text. Dear friends of Christ, I think of landlords for a moment. Not all landlords are very gracious people. They can be harsh at times. But I knew a landlord once who was rather kind. He was rather caring. And he was rather fair. And he told me on several occasions about all the problems that he has with tenants. "How do you know when a tenant is lying?" he told me several times. And I said, "No, how?" He says, "When their lips are moving." Okay. Yeah, some tenants can be pretty difficult. They tear up the place. They bring animals they're not supposed to have. They don't pay rent. They cause all kinds of problems. And when the problems get too great, they're asked to leave, and an eviction notice is given. And friends, that's what we see happening this morning. We see an eviction notice taking place. Jesus, the Lord, is serving an eviction notice. And he's serving an eviction notice to none other than Satan himself, to his demons, for Scripture tells us that when Satan fell, where did he go? He came here. When this created being, this created angel fell, he came to this world. And being in this world, he was here to take it over and make it his own. Listen to the descriptions. Matthew chapter 4 calls him, what? The tempter. 1 Peter chapter 5 calls him a predator. 1 Corinthians 11 calls him the deceiver. Revelation 12 and 13 calls him the dragon. And yes, back to John, in his gospel, he calls him a liar, and he calls him a murderer, and he calls him, get this, the ruler of this world. The ruler of this world. Wow, with descriptors like that, you know he's going to be a bad tenant indeed after he moved in. For indeed he is the real power behind all the problems in our world. After 9/11 hit, they posted the pictures, didn't they? They posted the pictures of those burning towers. And in the smoke that was coming out of the burning towers, you could see the face of Satan, they said. And the pictures went viral. Whether they were the actual pictures of his and whether he put them there or not, not certain about that. But one thing we do know, he is the problem behind all of the world's problems. He is the instigator of ultimately of all the rebellion that has taken place. He is Satan, the great accuser, the great enemy of God, the great enemy of Christ and his people. And friends, he's closer than you think. He's in our homes. He's in our places of work, in our places of play. He's in our stadiums. He's in our nightclubs. And yes, maybe even in our churches. I remember a sermon my pastor preached when I was just a kid about Satan sitting in church. I thought, what? Yeah, it happened in a town called Capernaum. There you see the Jews gathered in church
as they were supposed to do according to the law. They gathered in their synagogue. It's a Hebrew word that means to gather together. God is a shepherd and He gathers His people. He longs them to be gathered around His word and His sacraments. He's a gathering God. And so they gathered in the synagogue. Only there was something unexpected in that synagogue. Something unworldly. There was a demon that came to church. Think of that. And he sat right among the people. And no, he wasn't wearing a big red suit with a tail, a pointy tail, and the horn sticking out, making a big display of himself. No, for you see, the devil conceals, the devil deceives, and you don't always know he's here. An angel of light he masquerades as, the scriptures say. In this case, he looked like one of the parishioners. And I wonder if they suspected anything about him. Maybe they did. He took over a person, entered their very being. It's called demon possession. And it still happens even today. Our Lutheran missionaries report many cases of demon possession. For instance, on the island of Madagascar, where the Lutheran church is really growing and really burgeoning, the mission work is exploding, and they're reporting the many, many cases of demonic work and demonic possessions that are on that island. It still happens. And what a frightening idea, dear friends, that the devil can actually take over an individual and drive their behavior day in and day out. So many think that the shootings are mental illness, and maybe so. But I have another idea. I have another idea. And so there he was in church. And friends, it made me wonder just a bit. I marvel just a bit at this. How is it that a demon can sit in church and not be bothered at all? How can he just sit there perhaps week after week and it not stir him or bother him in any way? You would think that with the living word of God being proclaimed to the world, messages of salvation, messages of the coming Jesus, that he would be a little uncomfortable, that that would be the last place that he would find himself and go. But no, this demon was rather comfortable, it seems. And maybe that's because the word was lost. Because you see, the scribes, oh, as time went on, did not teach with authority, did they? Droned on. Probably boring sermons. Droned on and on about endless laws and endless regulations and traditions of man. Things that everyone had to follow. And indeed, no wonder the demon was not threatened. You see, that's the kind of church you want, don't you? That's the kind of church you want. You want the kind of church that makes the devil a little nervous. That makes the devil a little uncomfortable to show up. That's the kind of church that you want. And hopefully that's the kind of church that this is. The kind of church that makes the devil a little nervous. Make him think twice about showing up here. Because faith burns. But not in Capernaum, you see. Not so much there. He had no problem sitting there until one day it happened. Until one day this fellow walked in, Jesus of Nazareth. He began to speak, and all of a sudden it happened. He began to stir. He began to become very uncomfortable. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? For we know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us?" For suddenly things became a little uncomfortable for Satan, for that demon. Suddenly he became a little nervous because he knew. He knew this wasn't just any visitor. This was the one. This was the one. In Jesus was present the one who had power over him. In Jesus was present the one who had authority over him. And Jesus was present, the one who with one little word could not only evict him and strike him down, but destroy him forever. He shuddered and he shook in fear in the presence of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the long-awaited Messiah. He became, yes, very uncomfortable in church. It was then that Jesus went to work. That was one of the reasons he came. He knew what was going on in that congregation. And he displayed his power. No, not with swords or spears or armies. He displayed his power, dear friends, with his word, his mighty word. And he uttered a command to that demon. With a single command, he issued an eviction notice. Get out. You are done here. This is not your house anymore, and this man does not belong to you anymore. Be silent and come out of him. And what's so wonderful is that the demon couldn't argue. Couldn't do anything. He could resist man, but he could not resist this man. Because this was more than a man. This was also a God. The God. And he knew it. He fled at the word of Jesus. For you see, this is why Jesus came, St. John wrote in his epistle. This is why Jesus came. This is why he was manifested into the world, to destroy the works of the devil. To destroy his works. And yes, what an amazing epiphany. Jesus begins to rout the devil as he's revealed to the world. He begins his work of routing the devil, kicking him out of so many places. And that work culminates, yes, in the most unusual of places, that work culminates on a cross. As it was written, Proto-Evangelium, they call it, Genesis 3:15, the first gospel. Yes, he shall strike your heel, but you shall crush his head. And on that cross, Jesus did just that. He crushed the head of the devil. Sent him reeling. Evicted him from the world. And brought salvation to all who dare to believe. His wounds bled for you and I. His wounds justified us. And seeing those wounds, Satan quivered because he knew those wounds were his death sentence, his incarceration sentence forever and forever. And soon this King of the cross will come again, and he will utter that same powerful word and incarcerate Satan forever in, how does Revelation say? The abyss. This horrible, horrible abyss of darkness. Where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where no one will ever be able to exit. He and all of his demons will come to their end in the abyss at the mighty word of Jesus. And so we are confronted with that mighty word today, dear friends. We marvel at the mighty word of Jesus that he used. This one could speak and create planets. This one could speak and bring forth stars and suns and moons. This one could speak and drive demons out. This one could speak and cause Satan to fear. This one could speak and bring forth life in the hearts of men. This one was like no other. Oh, great epiphany in Capernaum. Your Messiah has come. Look to him and live. Receive his word and live. And we have that same word today. The living word of the Lord. And it's a word that brings life. It's a word that slays sinners and raises them up again. What an amazing word. And it's a word that we use in our lives as well. So why not take that living word that the Lord himself has given to you and serve an eviction notice today to Satan in your life? Wield that mighty sword
and drive him away. For what does the scripture say? Resist him and he will flee from you. Will flee from you.
What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? For we know who you are, the Holy One of God. Are you here to destroy us?
Why, yes, I am. That's exactly why I'm here. That's exactly why I have come. To destroy you. And take back what is mine, the kingdom of God. That's exactly why I'm here. To destroy the devil and his works. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We invite you to rise.
And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in him who slayed the dragon, Jesus, our Savior and our King.